I'm going to call the last session of the business session of the 2015 California Council of the Blind Conference and Convention to order. All right. I don't think Abhi's in the room, is he?
Yes.
You are. Abhi, can we prevail upon you to extend your devotional service to give us an invocation? I know. I'm doing it to you again.
He never lets me get a chance to get prepared. He says, Abhi, we need you to do the invocation. I said, how much time do I? I said, can I let me get a book and read it? He says, you don't have time. You're on now. So.
He told us the other day that he babysat Moses in his younger years, so he really he knows whereof he speaks. Listen sharply.
Not only did I babysit him, I also babysat that guy over there.
Okay.
Lord, bless us in all our devotions to all the projects that we have going for us. May he keep us in good spirits and good health. And may the Lord bless us in both our comings and our goings. And may we all enjoy a good and long life. Amen.
Amen. Excellent. Thank you. Okay, want to make some announcements, maybe others of you that have some. First I want to recognize everybody. Some people have already left, of course. Kim and Brian have left. Mary Lou and Pinky, gosh, what would we do without them? It's so good to have them back in the saddle. They have left. We have our super AV guys, Brooke and Ronnie. Let's hear it for them. And they don't just do AV, they did ballots, they ran around, they helped out, those guys are just, we've had other AV guys and who have been excellent, but these guys are just amazing. So our wonderful streaming team of Louie and Stephanie, oh, and yes, Vince, who I didn't forget, I didn't even know Vince was doing it the last time. So they have done an awesome job as well. Let's hear it for them. and I have a suspicion that the ACB radio listings in terms of the counts are going to be, who knows, better than ever if what we heard about on Thursday is any indication. So that's good. I want to hear it for Ed, of course, who runs around here. And I also want to give a special thanks to the convention committee for what I think produced an excellent convention under Gene's leadership, with Donna Pomerantz, Margie Donovan, Dan Smith, Peter Pardini. Did I get everybody, Gene? No. Well, I'm just sort of a figurehead. But yeah, it was the speakers I really liked. They came up with really good ideas. I mean, let's hear it for them.
Yes.
Unless there are some other announcements, before we do a door prize, and we got some extra door prizes in last night. If I'd known, we would have drawn some at the banquet. We got a message after the banquet from Kathy Skivers. I got a phone message, and she listened, and she's been thrilled with the convention and thrilled with all of you, and she says thank you for the opportunity to be recognized and to have such a great convention. So, all right, so that's it, and who knows, she may be up listening right now, so let's hear it for her in case she is. Kathy's kind of like an eye spy, you know. She's always there. You have to always figure out she's going to be have you on your toes. Okay, Frank has an announcement, and then Ed will draw a door prize, or two.
This is for those of you who are working to come to terms with the new Unified English Braille Code. There was a seminar yesterday, but the Lighthouse for the Blind and Visually Impaired in San Francisco has produced a UEB summary pamphlet. They're going to be selling them in our adaptation store. One version just has Braille in it. One version has both large print and Braille. But here's the cool thing. Well, that's cool anyway. They're going to be $5 a piece. But I've got a supply here of the Braille version that don't, and these pamphlets do not want to follow me home. So if you're somebody who's going to be reading UEB and you want to get this nifty pamphlet, then grab me and I'll give you a pamphlet.
All right. Thank you very much. It's a great deal. Okay, we're going to do a door prize. We're going to do cash plus a dog toy. The cash, you can tell who they're from, Ed. And okay, San Gabriel Valley's cash, $25. And a toy from Guide Dogs of the Desert. And we'll let Gene draw it. Charles Navarrete, and he is eating, so he does not win. Pick me. Cool. Tanya Williams. No Tanya. Yes, I met Tanya for the first time this weekend. Julie Tashima? Tashima? Sorry about the butchering the name, but she will never know, maybe. Jean Gear? Dane. I know Dane Ord. He's a baseball player, well, used to be. Bakersfield. Oh, yeah, I do. I know. Yes, I do. Oh, Jacqueline Patching? Well, Jacqueline, it's good to get to know you. And you win in money on top of it. So there you go. Okay. We're going to start with our second vice president, acting in her prior role of secretary, reading us the business meeting minutes from last year.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is going to seem like such old news, but it's important to remember that our minutes really are our institutional memory and our historic record. Somehow I'm getting some feedback here. So cast your minds back to spring 2014. Can everybody hear me? California Council of the Blind Conference Convention, draft business minutes, Sacramento Arden Hilton, West Hilton Hotel, 2200 Harvard Street, Sacramento, California, 95815. Celebrating 80 years of achievement, advocacy, and accessibility. Friday evening, April 11th, 2014. President Donna Pomerantz began by announcing the conference convention at silver sponsors at $1,000. Vanda Pharmaceuticals, Lainey Feingold, Linda Dardarian. After finding a home for the fabulous stuffed giraffe, Donna turned the proceedings over to the first vice president, Eugene Lozano Jr., presiding officer of the evening. In memoriam, Howard Keeler, San Diego chapter, Coletta Davis, Henry Negrete, Reese Griffith. Nominating committee report, Chair Pamela Apology. The slate of officers: President Jeff Tom, first vice president, Eugene Lozano Jr., treasurer Peter Pardini, board members Vincent Calderon, Lena Dawes, Frank Welty, Paul Patchy Jr. Credentials report, Chair Pamela Apology, chapters not seated, Alameda County, Antelope Valley, Association of Multicultural Concerns, Coachella Valley, Compton, Golden Gate, Greater Long Beach, High Desert, Humboldt, Inland Empire, San Bernardino, San Diego, San Mateo, Yosemite Gateway. Bill Gillespie moved and Charlene Ornella seconded the motion to accept the Credentials Committee report. Discussion followed. Record number absent. Motion passed. Presentations, non-24-hour sleep-wake disorder, Melissa Olivadosi, Vanda Pharmaceuticals. Reports. Legislative report, Jeff Tom, Chair, Governmental Affairs Committee. American Council of the Blind, Ron Brooks, member, Board of Publications. President's report, Donna Pomerantz. Elections. I think that was the ACB report, was Ron Brooks. I misread that. President Frank Welty, the president's report, President Frank Welty moved and many seconded the election of Jeff Tom by acclamation. First Vice President Margie Donovan moved and many seconded the election of Eugene Lozano Jr. by acclamation. Treasurer Frank moved and many seconded the election of Peter Pardini by acclamation. Board of Directors, Lena Dawes moved and many seconded the election of Vincent Calderon by acclamation. Linda Perel moved and many seconded the election of Lena Dawes by acclamation. Gabe Griffith moved and many seconded the election of Frank Welty by acclamation. Margie Donovan moved and many seconded the election of Paul Patchy Jr. by acclamation. After Mitch Pomerantz's important announcement that the Dodgers beat Arizona 6-0 in honor of our ACB guest Ron Brooks, Vita Zavoli moved and hundreds seconded the motion to adjourn. Sunday morning, First Vice President Eugene Lozano spoke about his difficulties presiding Friday evening because of his excruciating pain. He thanked those who contributed to Donna's lifetime membership and thanked Donna for her years of leadership. Donna thanked Jean and again thanked the organization for her CCB lifetime membership, which even Mitch kept a secret from her. And we know keeping a secret from Donna is really tough. She assured Jean that Friday evening went just fine. Minutes. CCB Secretary Judy Wilkinson read the minutes of the CCB business meeting at the Fall Convention 2013 submitted by Secretary Gabe Griffith. Jeff moved and Charlene Ornella seconded the motion to adopt the minutes as read. Discussion. Roger Peterson asked that the date 2014 be included, announcing dates for the 2014 convention. Bernice Kandarian once again reminded us about institutional memory to supply text for the updated Constitution and bylaws sections cited in the minutes. Dirk Nahart agreed. The motion as amended passed. Treasurer's report, Peter Pardini. Total assets as of December 31st, 2013, $1,062,996.49. Budgeted income January 1 through December 31, 2013, $194,000. We actually took in $178,659, which is a difference of $15,341. Our budgeted expenses for the same period were $303,970. Actual expenses $268,159, with a difference of $35,811. For the same period, we had other revenues of $82,661, $245,000. Expenses were greater than revenue by $7,084. Our current income, January 1 through March 31, 2014, $45,986.77. Expenses for the same period, $38,402.59. Income greater than expenses, $7,584.18. Christy Crespin moved and others seconded the motion to adopt the treasurer's report. Motion carried. Constitution and Bylaws Report, Roger Peterson. Gabe Griffith, Constitutions and Bylaws Chair, asked Roger to give the report. Those attending the Friday meeting were Gabe Griffith, Roger Peterson, Jeff Tom, and David Jackson. They discussed that Gabe had to leave that conference early. He was ill. They discussed future plans to tighten up the verbiage on sections relating to relations between chapters and affiliates and the CCB, specifically regarding fiscal matters, especially those chapters using CCB's 501c3. Jeff said he would get from the auditors the language they would like to see regarding this matter. The committee also discussed the relationship at all levels. It plans to rewrite the two articles referring to chapters and statewide affiliates. They plan to hold teleconference meetings. Mitch Pomerantz moved, and there was a second to accept the report. Discussion. Mitch urged the committee to proceed with the chapter affiliate CCB relations articles and to chapters to submit their constitution bylaws to the office. He suspects some haven't been updated in several decades. Donna hopes that we will amend the state constitution to ensure the office has these documents. She thinks the committee has the expertise to help with converting hard copy to electronic format other than with handwriting. Vita Zavali asked whether chapters which no longer have their charters can obtain them. Donna stated the board is definitely going to have to take that up. The office needs those as well as, and the office doesn't have them. So definitely this is an issue we need to take up. Jean added, it would be good if a chapter has the date of its charter. He used the capital chapter as an example. The organization changed charters have disappeared. He knows the chapter existed early, but they don't have the date. Donna mentioned Foster Brown's idea that the board will consider purchasing a gold seal with our logo, which we can establish for life members, charters, etc. This represents our pride. She noted Artis's point that many no longer have their life membership certificates. Peter hopes the board will create a policy whereby each chapter and affiliate has its own 501c3 status because of changes dealing with nonprofits, tax entities, etc. Donna reminded the convention that future board conference calls will be open. This discussion isn't over. Motion carried. Resolutions Committee Report, Chair Jeff Tom. Jeff thanked his committee. He announced Lena Dawes will be the incoming chair. 2014-1, State Employees, submitted by Jeff and others. Discussion, in addition to some friendly amendments inserted, Gene brought up the issue of whether university employees would be included. It was agreed to not include them in this resolution, but to see where this goes. Gene wanted to make sure this point doesn't get dropped out. Passed. 2014-02, Assistive Technology and the Department of Rehabilitation. A number worked on this. Passed. 2014-03, the Education Budget. A number, including Jeff and Donna, worked on this. Passed. 2014-04, Expanded Core Curriculum Long-Term Goal, submitted by Jeff. Mitch encouraged considering this in conjunction with HR 4040. Jeff agreed we need to work at all levels. Passed. 2014-05, Retirement of Stuart Wittgenstein, suggested by Kathy Skivers, worked on by Gene and Jeff. Passed. I should have put in Superintendent of California School for the Blind. 2014-06, Low Vision Aids, submitted by CCCLV. A friendly amendment about including California as a demonstration area when HR 3749 passes. Passed. 2014-07, Accessible Health Information, submitted by Stephen Mendelson. Passed. 2014-08, Support Services Assistance, submitted by Gene Lozano and Steve Mendelson. Passed. Appreciation 2014-09, Volunteers, and 2014-10, Hotel. Passed resoundingly. Gene moved adoption of the Resolutions Committee report. Passed. New business. Bill Gillespie moved we make Sarah from AT&T Pioneers an honorary member. Already is, said Ed Branch. Linda Perrell recommends the Volunteer Humanization Project by using the names of volunteers who assist us in our meetings and committees. Andrea Pitzenbarger agreed and gave an example of how she deals with volunteers. Sarah, I should insert Sarah's last name. Well, it was Amir at the time of the minutes. Sarah Amir thanked us for wearing name tags and being so nice to volunteers. She and Donna enumerated where our volunteers for this convention came from. Revisiting Sarah Amir's membership, Annette Carter donated her membership. Announcements and updates. Pampology, after wishing for door prize envelopes to be labeled, needs to have updated chapter name changes before next year. Reminder of deadline for getting in membership info is February 15th. If a problem, the key is communication. We need correct information in the correct places on the forms. Donna reminds us that the CCB Constitution requires information submission. Gene Lozano, Chair Convention Committee, reminded us about filling out the convention survey. CAT update, Gene Lozano. Easter Seals sent a person to our joint session Friday morning. CCB is on the radar. CAT/CCCLV need ideas for future sessions. Also, he reminded us about a 45-day time period about elevator button contrast. Gene is working his way through a 900-page document. Environmental Access Committee, guess who again? Gene once again. A time-sensitive, this week, document from National Institute of Buildings Sciences guidelines and low-vision folks about the built environment. Dan Smith said CCCLV did comment. Ron Brooks suggested a letter to the legislators about the participation of Project Action at our conference. Committee on Employment Assistance Chair Mitch Pomerantz. Our fund has over $22,000 for no interest loans available to obtain or retain employment or of self-employment. Mitch promises a BC article one of these days. Currently, we're assisting two people. In the past, when he was chair, over 30. Not sure about the time in between. You need not be a CCB member. In response to Linda Perrell's question about repayment schedule, Mitch said that is contingent upon the amount of the loan. Typically, it's 3 years. Motion to adjourn made by many, seconded by more. Respectfully submitted, Judy Wilkinson, Secretary, California Council of the Blind.
Mr. President?
Yes. Frank? Nope, I'm not on here. Okay. Am I on? No. No. I'm trying to push this button here.
I move the adoption of the 2014 CCB business meeting minutes as read.
There's a motion and a second for adoption of the minutes. Is there any requests for amendments or deletions or modifications? Gene has one, and I heard someone else in the audience as well. Here, let me just.
No, I think the mic's working.
Oh, you got a mic.
Yeah. Isn't it Gene?
No, mine is.
Okay,
Gene's
now it's
not.
On.
Okay. Got your feedback from your mic. Okay, just Judy, just if you would mind checking the minutes, which were very, very well written. The example of my talking about the charter, I just want to see if it says ACB capital chapter.
I'm just going to make a note of that, Gene. I'll check that.
Okay, and the other thing is just to check too, because it might have been just reading it. About the agenda under the Committee on Access and Transportation, and the Council says, California Council says low vision, it's the National Institute of Building Sciences.
Okay, National
Institute of Building Sciences.
Of Building Sciences.
Yes.
Thank you, Gene.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
You have one more comment out here?
Yes, I know. Gentlemen?
Hello. There was some mention about each chapter having their own 503 status. Where did that go? I don't think I understood where that went. Thank you.
So we're going to debate.
I didn't understand you. I don't know what Mike is. Mike,
can you repeat?
Could you repeat that? I'm not sure what you're talking about.
There was mention about somebody suggested that each chapter have their own 503 status.
Yes.
501.
Yes. Peter Pardini did that, and that was an appropriate item for the minutes.
But
or Donna, I forget. Donna or Peter, I forget which one. Peter, I think.
Peter.
What I'm wondering is, was there any action on it?
Wait a minute.
Mike, I will comment on that item after the minutes are done, but that's out of order at this point.
Okay.
Okay, was the motion on the floor and a second? All those in favor of accepting the minutes as read?
As amended.
Say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? The motion is carried. Thank you for those excellent minutes. And actually, I did intend to make a brief comment. There has been no action. We've sort of dropped the ball on that a little bit. and I will make that a priority. I intend to call a constitutional bylaws meeting and add a couple people to that group in terms of coming up with some amendments for the next convention, relating to any additional requirements that we need to impose, physically speaking, on our chapters and affiliates. So that will be, expect something in the spring. Okay, treasurer's report. Peter, are you here? Okay, take it away.
Oh, here we go. Oh, whoop, sorry. Didn't mean to blow you guys out.
Yeah, it's working.
At this time, I'm going to present a brief summary treasurer's report. A more detailed treasurer's report will be given at the board of directors meeting this afternoon. And basically, our total assets for the period as of August 31st, 2015 is $930,866. Moving on to the statement of revenue and expenses for the period January 1st to August 31st, 2015. We had budgeted revenues for this fiscal year in the amount of $160,658. We had actual revenues through August 31st in the amount of $48,066, leaving a variance of a negative $112,592. We had our total expense budget for this year is $228,979. We had actual expenses in the amount of $100,871, leaving a difference of roughly, and I meant to include this in the $128,000. One more figure. We had two more figures. We had net revenues. The difference in our budgeted figures is a negative $68,321. The difference between our revenues and expenses is a negative $52,804. We had, due to the turmoil in the stock market, we had other revenues which happened to be a little loss in the amount of $8,397. So our net revenues less expenses, including other revenues, for the period ending August 31st is $61,202. And we are scheduled to have an audit. It's either the end of October, the first week in November of this year for 2014. And at that point, at that time, we will talk to the auditors and get more clarification on what they recommend that we do regarding chapters, nonprofits, having chapters get their own 501(c)(3) tax status. And at this point, this concludes the treasurer's report. Thank you.
I have to turn myself off every time because of the feedback. Are there questions for the treasurer? Yes, Frank.
There is a large variance in between the projected budget revenue figure and actual revenue figure through three quarters of the calendar year. Can the treasurer elaborate on the explanation for the significant variance?
It's because in our budget we had a significant amount of money budgeted for the mud strut, and we still haven't really received much funding for the mud strut. And also, we normally get quite a bit of revenues with our convention, and we have paid out some funds for the convention already. So I anticipate things to really improve during the second half of the year.
Any other questions? Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry?
Just Frank Welty again. Just to refresh, refresh everybody's memory, what is the date of the fiscal year start or end?
Basically, we're on a calendar year. Our fiscal year runs from January 1st to December 31st.
Any other questions? Yes?
Here you go. I have a mic. Hold on. Thank you. In your opening remarks, you referred to the...
back off.
Sorry. In your opening remarks, you gave figures for the total assets of the organization as of specific opening dates. Would those total assets include the various funds, such as the Perry Fund described last night, and other funds, or would those be outside the parameters of that figure?
They include all the funds that are in the purview of the California Council of the Blind. It does not include and it does include all the funds that are in the purview of the California Council of the Blind, with the exception of the Lily Perry Fund.
Okay, any other questions? Hearing none, is there a motion to accept the treasurer's report? There is a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. Abstentions? Okay, thank you very much.
Jeff, can I make one additional comment?
Oh, yes, of course.
These reports are available in the office in your favorite means.
Your favorite flavor.
Favorite flavor. Thank you, Judy. So if you need them, please contact the office, and I encourage everyone to do so. Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to turn the mic over to Jean to act as chair so that I can speak on as essentially the acting chair for today on the Constitutional and Bylaws Amendment. So let's see. We'll just pass this mic back and forth.
I got a mic here.
Okay.
Okay. So
go for it.
Okay. I would like to ask the acting chair, the Constitution and Bylaws Committee chair, give a second reading and then we will take action on the proposed motion.
Okay.
Amendment, rather.
Thank you. Am I on? Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
Okay. So the committee consists of the chair, Gabe Griffith, Roger Peterson, Gerald Consler, David Jackson, Charles Navarrete, and myself as an ex officio member. I just to show that he is on the ball, Mr. Griffith actually called me and said he did intend, not although it was written in slightly differently, he did intend for this to be done as one amendment, because it's basically inserting something in the same place,
deleting.
It's deleting something. So we will read it again as one amendment, after which time I will give the rationale for it, and it will be open to debate, which Gene will conduct. So these, I will read the paragraph deleted, the paragraph inserted, and then how the section will read, if adopted. Section 10.4, the amendment would strike the second paragraph, which reads as follows. Inasmuch as the council has acted to hold its conference and convention on an annual basis instead of the current semi-annual basis, the service length of those elected in the penultimate and ultimate conventions, at which elections were or will be held under the current provisions, shall have their terms adjusted accordingly. Those elected fall 2012 shall serve from January 1, 2013 through June 30, 2014. Those to be elected fall 2013 shall serve from January 1, 2014 through June 30th, 2015. The language to be inserted, find it here, were a circumstance to arise that prevents an election from being held prior to July 1 of any calendar year. Officers or directors whose terms would otherwise end on June 30 of that year shall continue until adjournment of the convention at which the elections can be held. Terms of those officers and directors newly elected at that convention shall commence immediately upon adjournment of the convention. So the article would now read, if this amendment is adopted, the section, I should say, section 10.4. Constitution, all officers and directors shall be elected for two-year terms, subject, however, to the provisions set forth in this article. The president, first vice president, treasurer, and four directors shall be elected at the annual convention of each even-numbered year. Second vice president, secretary, and five directors shall be elected at the annual convention of each odd-numbered year. The terms of officers and directors shall commence on July 1, immediately following the adjournment of the convention at which their election occurs. Okay. Were a newly added language, second paragraph, were a circumstance to arise that prevents an election from being held prior to July 1 of any calendar year, officers or directors whose terms would otherwise end on June 30 of that year shall continue until adjournment of the convention at which the elections can be held. Terms of those officers and directors newly elected at that convention shall commence immediately upon adjournment of the convention. So, the committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Okay, we don't need a second report, but that we can open it up for discussion.
Okay, if I can start to give the rationale, Mr.
Yes.
Chair.
Mm-hmm.
The rationale for the deleted paragraph is very simply that we don't need it anymore, that it has done its job and can be put to bed. The new language was meant to address the issue that occurred, hopefully will never occur, but with crazy things happening nowadays in the industry, rates going up, et cetera, you know, there is more volatility, and so we don't know when we might have another instance where we could not have our convention before July 1. What we are doing is done in basically many legislative bodies, such as city councils, et cetera, essentially saying that that the officers will hold over an office until the election to provide for continuity. And that is the rationale of this amendment. Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
I will recognize Judy.
This is just a thought. Might we want to put in language something like, and their terms will terminate as if they had begun service on July 1st? Or is that understood?
No, the terms terminate as soon as the language indicates that the newly elected people...
No, Jeff, I mean their terms, the newly elected people, their terms will terminate. You see, if they don't start serving till, you know, sometime later, do we...
No. Yes, we feel on the committee that language is not necessary because essentially the terms do run and do terminate on July 1.
Okay.
Now, if you want to clean it up later, we can, but we in the committee didn't feel that was needed.
That's fine.
Okay. If people in the audience would like to comment, if they would raise their hand, and then we'll have a mic brought to you.
Have one.
Okay, let's get a mic to Frank. Okay, go ahead.
I wish to make an amendment. In the clause relating to extending the terms of office until the next election, I wish to add the clause, or for a period for an additional 12 months, whichever comes first.
Okay, so it would say... Oh, first, you need a second. Sorry.
Yes, is there a second? Okay, now we're getting to what would be a discussion on the motion,
Frank,
the amendment to the motion.
Hang on, let me read how it would read to the body so that you get an idea before Frank speaks. If that's okay, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Were a circumstance to arise that prevents an election from being held prior to July 1 of any calendar year, officers or directors whose terms would otherwise end on June 30 of that year shall continue until adjournment of the convention at which the elections can be held, or for a period of 12 months, whichever comes first.
That is correct. That is my intent.
Necessary?
I wish to speak to
them. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Frank.
I envision a possible scenario, and while it would be highly unlikely and highly undesirable, I want it to be addressed, whereby a board might deliberately choose to delay holding a convention for the purpose of not facing the voters. Therefore, I believe that it is worthwhile to have a reasonable time limit regardless of the election in order to ensure that a convention is held in a timely manner and that it is not delayed indefinitely.
Mr. Bylaws Chair, acting chair, to respond to that, please.
Mr. Chair, I guess I'll say two things. I wouldn't, on behalf of the committee, deem it friendly, not because I have a real problem with it, but just because it is so different than what is in there that I think it probably should be voted on. But I understand what you're saying.
Okay, is there, I understand William Elliott wants to comment. Is it on the amendment to the amendment? Okay. You're recognized.
William Elliott, Fresno chapter.
Can we get the mic, please?
William Elliott, Fresno chapter. I do see the logic of putting in a restriction on time, as explained, but the difficulty I would see is if there was some really serious problem, surely the board would be able to call a meeting within 1 year. It doesn't seem to be actually necessary to put the limitation. And then if we did have elections every year, the people elected after the missed year, would they then revert to their original terms as in the constitution, or would they, so a person would then serve for 1 year instead of two, and it just seems to get more and more confusing. So I would vote against the amendment to the amendment.
Okay, who's in the back of the room requesting? Okay, Ken.
Thank
is
you.
Is this a pro or con?
It's a con.
Okay, let's, Ken, just to get one, no, excuse me. Let's get a pro and then you, a con.
Yeah, that's so, what I said, I'll wait.
Okay. Is there a pro? Okay.
You have two people.
The one I can't recognize the voice right now, but the person who just spoke up.
It's not Dirk.
Dirk?
The other one besides Dirk.
First,
I am thinking the amendment is wonderful, but I am disturbed by the fact that our president says it's not a friendly amendment. I would like some more discussion about why this is not friendly.
Mike Keithy wanted to comment.
Well, okay, now we have our con first. Ken Metz.
Ken Metz. Okay, the reason I would be against the amendment is because in the Constitution it already states that we have to have an annual convention, and while we realize that what happened here were circumstances beyond our control, We are already led by the Constitution to have an annual convention, so I don't think we would go beyond a minimum time frame for which we would already have some convention established.
Thank you. Okay, Mike Keithy, Mike, you want to give a pro?
Well, I think Frank's amendment just. It just makes sense. It's a safeguard. That's all.
Yeah. Is this a opposition? Con. Mitch.
Steve Mendelson here. I think the problem with the amendment, and I realize it's good intention, is that it presupposes a board which is essentially willing to trash the Constitution. If you're going to have a board which trashes the Constitution, there's no way you can write a constitutional amendment to prevent that. Constitutions can never protect wholly against evil-inclined people. I think that that is the one problem. The second problem with it is that even assuming it were passed, and even assuming the circumstance that it foresees were to occur, the question would then be at the end of the 12-month period, when the existing board went out of office, who would be responsible for governing the organization if an election had not occurred?
Okay, thank you, Steve, and I apologize. Okay, is... Yes?
I would simply respond by pointing out that Guide Dog Users Incorporated a couple of years ago went through a situation where essentially this scenario played out. Although it didn't involve suspending a meeting, but it came very close to that. And it was dominated by a small group that wasn't trying to usurp and even replace its constitution. And so this really could happen. It's not likely. I hope I never see anything close to that here. But But this is a fail-safe, if you would, a dead man switch that I hope is never used. But the reason that GDUI recovered is because there was just barely enough provision in its constitution that in the end the membership was able to take back control of its organization.
Okay, that was a pro. So is there a con back in the room?
Call for the question.
There was a call.
Do you need a con or no? Do you need another con?
Okay, go ahead and speak.
Well, no, just it's Rob Turner just going to say I don't think the amendment is friendly and I don't think it's necessary.
Okay. We will then take a vote on it. Those in favor of the amendment to the amendment say aye.
Aye.
Those who are opposed say nay.
No.
Any abstentions? Okay, I rule that the negatives have won. Okay, now we're back to the original motion. Any further discussion on the original amendment, rather? No? Okay, that's good. Okay, then those in favor of the original amendment say aye.
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 Those opposed say nay. Any abstentions? The ayes have it. Thank you.
Thank you. I just want to thank the committee for their work, and this concludes the report for this convention of the Constitution and Bylaws Committee. Thank you.
We will now take we've had the report, and we're going to officially adopt the report. So those in favor of the Bylaws Committee's report say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Abstentions. Okay, the ayes have gotten it.
Okay, thank you, Gene, for conducting that debate. And now we will turn it over to our resolutions. Let's have a door prize while Robert gets ready. And so...
here you are.
Money and a toy.
Thank you.
Yes. Chew toy from Guide Dogs of the Desert, $25 from CCCLV.
James Van Esseltine.
Wow, there's an interesting name. James Van Esseltine. Sounds very Dutch. Probably went back to Amsterdam. Keith Tomlinson, I doubt if he's still here.
Patricia Davis.
Patty, are you here?
Oh, good.
All right. Very good. Okay. Robert, are you ready yet?
Yeah, I need Ed to hold the mic, I think.
That's okay. We can...
Or mine.
Okay.
Or yours.
Yeah.
Here's mine.
Jeff.
Yeah. Oh, jeans.
Given
we'll
me.
I got
jeans. No.
I really like these better anyway.
These are great.
I don't like the sling mics.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, my outdoor voice. Okay, we have a few resolutions, it won't be too painful. So I'm gonna go ahead and get started with these. Resolution 2015, the number one, accommodations of federal employees who are blind or have low vision. whereas since Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, EEOC, has been the lead agency that is charged with providing guidance and subsequent approval of all federal compliance with Executive Order 13164 that requires each agency to have its own EEOC-approved written procedure for individuals with disabilities to request reasonable accommodations. And, hang on a second. Let's hope we're not having problems again. Oh, sorry. I turned my mouse off. Whereas since Equal Employment Opportunity Commission has been the, Whereas a review of EEOC's internal document entitled Procedures for Providing Reasonable Accommodations for Individuals with Disabilities omits any mention of assistive technology accommodations, including but not limited to screen reader and magnification software and
system compatibility.
Including but not limited to system compatibility, screen reader, and magnification software. Whereas EEOC's failure to provide guidance to federal agencies on assistive technology accommodations has ultimately resulted in federal employees who are blind or have low vision being unable to perform their job duties. And whereas the absence of reasonable accommodations brought about by this failure results in denial of jobs, including promotional opportunities and even the firing of employees with visual impairments. And therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in convention assembled this fourth day of October 2015 at the Hilton Woodland Hills Los Angeles Hotel in the city of Woodland Hills, that the organization contact the director and members of the EEOC and insist, that the committee include within the aforementioned document guidance on assistive technology accommodations for federal employees who are blind or have low vision, and be it further resolved, this resolution be forwarded to the American Council of the Blind, the ACB, action at its conference in 2016 conference and convention. The committee urges a due pass,
Okay.
I'm the first time person.
Is the maker of this, the drafter of this resolution, Karen Memmer, in the room? Okay, she's not. So let me explain briefly what this resolution indicates, and that is that the internal documents that EEOC uses to give guidance to all federal agencies on employees with disabilities fails to include any discussion of reasonable accommodations for persons who are blind. It does get specific in other areas, but for us it has nothing in it. And the maker, the proponent of this resolution, would like to see that correction, that document corrected.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, I heard Mitch first and Judy second.
Is it? You need a mic for comment?
We'll get you a mic.
Are you commenting? Oh, over here. Okay. Thank you.
I'd like to ask the maker
of the resolution or the author, and depending on the answer, I may or may not have a follow-up.
The maker isn't here, so.
Well,
but I will answer it if I can.
Well, we still would like to know, I think, Jeff, who it is.
Who is the maker?
Karen Memmer.
Okay. All right. I don't know. I know who Karen is. I don't know if she's worked for EOC. I would have liked for the committee, once you got the resolution, to make an effort to reach a fellow who was a staff attorney for EEOC for many years and would be able to tell you absolutely whether, in fact, the information provided by the author was correct.
She's worked with Chris and worked with Melanie
okay.
and worked with me.
All right.
And work with other attorneys that were formerly in the EEOC. Karen has done her
okay,
homework
I rely
to an obsessive degree, I might
say. Yeah, during you know my time as ACB president, I relied heavily on Chris. He's forgotten more about what EEOC does and what it's written than most everybody's remembered. So
yes.
If, in fact, that's been confirmed with him, then I'm just fine with this.
Okay, hearing no... Oh, no, Judy, sorry.
My question was answered, Mr. President.
Okay. Hearing no more discussion, all those in favor... Yes? Is that Dirk?
Yes.
Okay.
And nitpicking, I'd just like to change the word firing, which is really a colloquial term, to termination of employment.
Okay, Robert, do you want to...
So we want to change the language to termination as opposed to firing?
Yes.
Okay. Is that a friendly amendment, Robert, as you see it?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. All right. Any further discussion?
I'm learning.
If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? The resolution is adopted. Okay. Back to you, Robert.
Resolution 15-2, holographic wills. Whereas California law authorizes holographic wills, and whereas a holographic will, in order to be valid, must be totally handwritten by the testator, and whereas most people who are legally blind are unable to write either in script or individual letters, and whereas these individuals cannot afford to hire an attorney to prepare a will on their testamentary documents. Therefore, be it resolved that the California Council of the Blind, in convention assembled this fourth day of October 2015 at the Hilton Woodland Hills Los Angeles Hotel in Woodland Hills, California, seek the enactment of a statute which would allow a person who is legally blind to prepare a valid, unwitnessed will in a form other than handwritten form, and be it further resolved that the statute contain the following additional requirements. One, in order to ensure that the will is actually prepared by the person who is legally blind, the signature of the person must be notarized. Two, the will shall be accompanied by certification from a California licensed physician that the testator is legally blind. That's it. I think we urge it to pass.
Okay, there's a motion to adopt the resolution. Is there discussion?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to recognize Charles first as the proponent of the resolution.
This issue came up to me when a friend of mine who lives in Northern California recently asked me to prepare a will for her. Having not prepared wills for over 25 years, I said I didn't feel comfortable in doing that, and suggested to her that she handwrite a will because she doesn't have any real property and wanted to make sure that her personal property is distributed in the way that she would like. Despite having a college degree, this person, and being a high partial, this person informed me that she does not know how or cannot handwrite any documents. So, in California, a holographic will is intended to be a way for a person to make a simple will without having to pay for an attorney. And in many cases, people without real property can express their wishes as to how their personal property will be distributed after they pass away. And so I think that, and the reason I propose this resolution is because, as it says in the resolution, most legally blind people cannot make handwritten documents, and because of the high unemployment rate, most legally blind people cannot afford to have an attorney prepare their will. So I think that this resolution would begin the process of making holographic wills, so to speak, available to blind people as they are to people with vision.
Okay. Yes, the lady, I heard the lady first.
Christy.
Hi, I just have a grammatical problem with using this word form twice in the same sentence. Even at the beginning, it says something about form and handwritten form. I just want to get that language changed. Just say in handwriting.
Totally handwritten by the.
You could look at it.
Authorized holographic will. I'm trying to find it, Chrissy.
Yeah, we can massage that when we have it come back to us.
Just take form out of there twice.
Yeah, there's two forms in that clause. Maybe better just to change the word the first form to format, and then we can leave handwritten form the way it is. Either way, but thank you, Christy, for pointing that out. No, the gentleman was first, and Margie is second.
Yes, Steve.
Steve, okay.
Yeah. While I very much appreciate the intention behind the resolution, I fear it may have some unintended consequences which we at least ought to consider before voting for it. First of all, there are many people in California who for various reasons are unable to handwrite. And presumably all of those face the same issues. So by creating a law which creates a special form of will for people with visual impairments, we would necessarily and logically be opening the door to similar requests, equally bona fide and equally justified for many other groups that would end up creating a much more complicated succession of testatory processes for people with small estates. Second of all, we would not solve the economic problem because to the extent that health insurance would not cover the cost of the physician's visit or certification, that would be charged for, and there would be some nominal charge for the notary services as well. So people of extremely limited means might not even be able to avail themselves of the benefits if they wanted to. So those are my two reasons for suggesting we might give this matter more study, notwithstanding its obviously laudatory intentions.
Okay, Margie.
Could you please, Robert, read the "be it resolved" again?
The whole thing?
Just the resolve
clause.
Okay, just the resolve clause.
Leave out the Woodland Hills and all that.
Okay. I can do
start
that.
With this organization seek.
I can do that. California. Seek the enactment of a statute which would allow a person who is legally blind to prepare a valid unwitnessed will in a format other than handwritten form.
It's all
you
right.
Want me to keep?
Okay.
Christy, that's where, what you were looking for?
Yeah. And it's all right. One chain. You got one of them changed format.
Okay.
Yes.
Am I doing the be it further? I thought I was just doing the resolve. Both of the resolve.
That's what Margie
is. No. Is that all you wanted, Margie, or you want the rest of it?
It's another resolve, Robert.
Okay, read the other requirements.
Yeah, there was. She asked for one. Okay. Be it further resolved that the statute contained the following additional requirements. One, in order to ensure that the will is actually prepared by the person who is legally blind, the signature of the person be notarized. Two, the will shall be accompanied by a certification from a California licensed physician that that testator is legally blind.
Okay. It was a gentleman, I believe. Okay, Dirk?
You have another gentleman also.
Okay, the other gentleman I may have been first, actually, Dirk, so let's...
William Elliott, I'm wondering, is this will going to be in like printed format, or would it open the doors for people to do like video, things like that? So if you prepare it on like Word using Dragon, would that be the only acceptable type of will?
Okay, so do we need the word written format so that it is, because I don't think the goal is to get it in video form. No, I don't think we were even going to contemplate Braille necessarily, but that's...
But it, yeah, it does. It basically says...
But it does imply that, so...
It doesn't say any format.
I'm sure it will.
Written.
Do we want print or do we want written, everyone? What's the...
Print.
Or maybe we should ask the drafter.
Yeah, ask Charles.
Okay, so currently it's just going to be written format.
Right. And it's, you know, it's, I think that it would be difficult to specify the format that it would be in, and I think we all recognize that having it in Braille would create some problems, because although courts could bring in someone to read the Braille, and that would be acceptable too, but I think leaving it generalized like it is now is the best policy, and I think that the legislature would have some... feelings or opinions on that also.
Okay, so the drafter has asked that we include the word written before the word format. Okay.
Where at?
Oh. Dirk and Margie.
In the where at? I mean,
in the result.
Evidence is written or oral. Why can't we have an oral will where we recite it into a tape or into an internet communication?
Okay, well, the drafter has not accepted that, so unless you're proposing an amendment, that's really not in order.
Well, then I am proposing an amendment that a will be, an oral will be... available to blind and low vision people.
Okay, so he wants to propose adding the words or oral before the word format. Is there a second? There's no second, so your amendment, your motion dies for lack of a second. Margie was next.
so as I understand this resolution, Currently, we are required to handwrite our wills.
No, but the law allows handwritten wills.
Okay. So what's the purpose of written versus typed, which is what we would do.
Because you cannot, unless it's in proper form, and witnessed, you can't type it out and then submit it. You have to have the proper witnesses to it.
No, I understand that. I understand that, you know, the second two portions, the verification of the doctor and the...
go ahead.
I'm just a little confused of what... I'm not understanding the first part of this resolution and then the resolve about written, because written... So I guess I'm not understanding.
Not handwritten.
Yeah, it says written format... Other than handwritten, so I guess that would be the answer to that.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Yes, heard the gentleman over there.
Frank has a hand up.
I propose an amendment to the second resolve clause in which we strike provision number 2 regarding the medical certification, and we remove the reference to visual impairment and remove the number 1 from the remainder of the clause. This would therefore essentially allow anybody to prepare a non-handwritten holographic will with the provision that it be properly notarized.
Okay, so Frank's amendment, hold on Frank's amendment would provide for a statute whereby anyone could prepare it would essentially expand the definition of holographic will to include any format, any written format, but you'd have to have it notarized, other than in the handwritten one, of course. Okay, is there a second to that? Okay, we have debate on the amendment. Let's recognize a pro and then a con.
Steve.
I think Steve's a con, I think.
Okay.
Steve's contrary to almost everything, as we know.
But somebody was ahead of Frank, I think. Maybe you're somebody else.
Go ahead, Frank, since it's your amendment. Please be brief, everyone. We are trying to get out of here this morning.
The fact that I'm preparing to speak in opposition to a Harvard-trained attorney suggests that I have more zeal than sense. But having said that, I think that this entire resolution raises the issue of the relevance of only accepting a handwritten holographic will in a digital age. And as has been stated before, only saying that a non-handwritten holographic will be permitted for people who are visually impaired raises the question of why other people who are print impaired are not given the same access opportunity. Given that one can seriously question whether handwriting is the only legitimate way of producing a self-verifying document, which is the point of allowing a handwritten holographic will in our digital age, I think that it would be appropriate that rather than simply seeking a piece of legislation that addresses the issue in the behalf of the blind, that we do so that addresses the entire issue.
All right. Thank you. Steve.
I very much appreciate Frank's effort, which I take the amendment to be, to respond to the concern about special pleading, so to speak, that I raised. And I fear that, unfortunately, the amendment would doom the bill to defeat. It's not within the purview of CCB to reform the entire wills and trust and estates law of California. It just can't be done.
Okay. A pro. Have someone who's in favor of the amendment. Okay.
There was a lady over on the right.
Jack. Let's go with the lady. If you're in favor.
But there was one on the right.
Well, I think the benefit of Frank's amendment is the fact it would be much more likely to pass through the legislature if we have a lot of support. And if you're only going for blind people, I think you might not get as much support to get this into legislation.
Okay. Do we have an opposition to the amendment?
The other speaker is a pro.
Okay, we have no more speakers opposed. If you are in favor and you have anything new to say, we will recognize you. Okay, we have a call for the question. All those in favor of the amendment.
She had something to say.
She did. I mean, she, yeah, let her.
Okay,
speak.
Go ahead.
This is Kathy Schmidt-Whitaker.
I'm sorry, Kathy.
And I am in favor of this amendment because I do believe that by coming into the 21st century, taking into consideration the digital aspect of the era that we're in and the needs of not only people who are blind and visually impaired, but also those that have print-related disabilities in general, it's more of an equitable way of addressing it. And yes, it may not be in the purview of CCB. However, if we do not, as an organization, demonstrate an effort and an interest in this topic, then who would? And it may not pass this time around, but it could gain more momentum and interest by others that really, as we talk about change in CCB, I think we also need to think about our positioning and who we are and what we want for not only people who are blind and visually impaired, but for all individuals within the community.
Okay. There's been a call for the question.
There's a comment, Con.
All right, we'll have one more, and this is going to be it, because there has been a call for the question.
Like many laws, because our system of laws is based on common law as developed in England and in the British system, the wills and trust provisions are pretty much archaic in nature, and they've been set in stone for hundreds of years. So I think that if you want to adopt this amendment would be challenging this whole system that is tradition bound and set in stone and unlikely to pass.
Okay, so I would only comment that if anybody says that CCB doesn't have discussions of historic import, they are not, I don't know what they're talking about. Okay, all those in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
All the opposed, say no.
No.
I believe the ayes have it. And so, if people want a roll call, we need 25, and I'm not.
No, we're not going to.
No. I don't see. If there were 25 people standing up for a roll call, then we have to have one. But I heard it was close, but I heard more ayes than noes, so that's what I'm saying.
We're standing.
Okay, Ed, you have to count them.
Okay, I have five people standing, six people standing, seven people standing, eight people, nine, ten. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18.
All right. We do not have a sufficient number, so there will be no roll call. So now we have the initial, we're on the resolution as amended. I know now the we know different people's positions. So if you have anything new to say, please do so. We now have a new resolution that basically says that we are going to seek the enactment of a statute whereby anyone with a notarized signature could do a will in other written formats. You can call it that if you want, but the holographic will is handwritten, then this would be other types of unwitnessed wills, but which would require a notary. Okay. I'll take a pro first and a opposed second, please. If you have anything new to say.
Donna Sanchez.
Donna, you have a question, yes.
Did it say in this that we were going to send it to ACB? I don't remember.
No, this would not go to ACB. This is strictly California.
Okay.
At least it doesn't say that now. William, are you in favor of this?
She's got a question.
You got a question? Okay, sorry.
William Elliott, I've a question for the maker of the amendment. Do you feel that this significantly changes the original purpose enough to make it now invalid as a proposal?
That would really be addressed to me as the chair.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. And I thought about it, but it is a close question. But given the fact that it is intended to allow blind people this flexibility by virtue of the manner that the maker feels is most easily able to be passed, I would say that I would rule, and the body can overrule me with a 3/4 vote, but I would rule that, or 2/3 vote, I think. Sorry about that, 2/3. I would rule that it is germane and it is in order.
Do you want somebody in favor of it?
No. Yes, in favor. But please make it new points that haven't been expressed before. I would urge that.
My point is that there is something available to people who have a certain type of access, which is the print, and or to be able to do it themselves, to handwrite. And there are a lot of people who are excluded. And I think that it's unfair to exclude people for something of this importance.
Okay. Do we have an opposition? Well, we have several. I don't know who was first. Yeah, I think Steve was first. I heard Charles in there, I think.
And Mitch.
I heard Mitch, too. So Steve, go first, and then we'll take a pro if there is one.
Mr. President, while I recognize and certainly subscribe to Charles's points about the tradition-bound, not to say the ossified nature of trust and estates law in this state, I think we actually run the risk, first of all, of making ourselves look rather ridiculous by proposing such a monumental change in historic state law with so little study and with so little expertise in the matter. And secondly, we run the risk of incurring the opposition of people who in other areas ought to be our friends. The possibilities for abuse here are incredible. You only need to think about the possibilities that if a person has the will written by someone else,
are only signed by them. What is the guarantee that what the person is signing is what they think they're signing? What is the guarantee of their mental capacity? What is the guarantee of any number of other possible things that could go wrong? You're going to have opposition here, united opposition from the legal profession, not merely on the ground of its fear for loss of revenue, but on other grounds as well. You're going to have opposition from the medical profession because doctors will be afraid of life. You're going to have opposition from the medical profession because doctors will be afraid of liability in case of fraudulent conveyances. And I can name a number of other disability groups.
Okay, Steve,
those,
15 seconds, please.
Other disability groups, including those who oppose, for example, recently opposed the Right to Die legislation, who would oppose this on comparable grounds.
Thank you. A pro, and then I'm going to make a comment before anyone else. There are no pros. So in that case, I actually will take a little presidential prerogative and make a comment. I appreciate what the advocates such as Frank and Kathy are saying, but it would be extremely difficult and put your leaders and your advocate, which may well be me and Mitch, in a very difficult position to try to reform the, you know, wills and estates law from the perspective of our little tiny area of turf. I would like to say otherwise, and I would like to think that we would be able to use our time wisely in this area, but I think we would be sort of ignored. And I'll recognize a pro because I'm making a comment, but I just think that we would be unable to use our time wisely if this were taken up, and that's a sad state of affairs, but it's the case. And yes, I'll recognize you as a proponent. Christy, I will recognize you. Yes, Mitch, I recognize that.
So who are you recognizing?
Christy.
People do seem to say their name. I would like to propose that we take this resolution under consideration and table it for now and put it under some kind of a committee or some kind of a re-advisement. And because what we're trying to say, and I really like what we're trying to say, and I think we all have understanding of this, but the legalities and what Steve was saying, you know, kind of poses some questions. But yet, I want to be able to write my will if I need to, without having to use, spend $800,000 for an attorney.
Christy, the motion to table is non-debatable. I've given you some flexibility. So okay. If you want to make the motion, do it.
Okay. So I move that we table this.
Is there a second? There is a motion and a second. All those that is non-debatable. There is a point of order raised.
Who are you?
Okay, Frank states a point of order, and Mitch can have one as well. Frank, go ahead. Mitch,
I believe,
a second.
I believe the table motion is out of order on two grounds. First of all, I believe the intent of the motion is to kill this discussion, which is counter to the purpose of such resolutions.
Go ahead, let him state his point.
On technical grounds, it should be, I want to clarify that the table motion is one that is almost universally abused, which is that the table motion calls for a motion to be placed on what's called the table, whereupon it may not be discussed until there is a future motion to remove it from the table. In other words, and generally speaking, the preferable motion is a motion to defer, either until a definite time or an indefinite time.
Hold on, hold on. I'm going to rule against your point of order. The custom and usage in this organization is such that we don't strictly follow that type of, you know, Robert's rules. I think the intent here is to that this be brought up in the future, and I'm going to recognize that intent and reject your point of order. Mitch is next with his point of order.
What we do need to do with this table, motion to table, is to establish a time certain for it to be brought back. And if the maker would agree, then I would suggest this motion be brought back to the convention, or the resolution be brought back to the convention at the April 2016 conference and convention.
Okay, that motion has been given a friendly amendment, so that there is now a motion. It's undebatable unless we have a point of order. Are you rising to a point of order? Then you are not recognized. Sorry, Margie, you can't. Are you rising to a point of order? If the answer is yes, then you're recognized. I'm sorry, what did you say? Yes, okay, go ahead.
I'm not sure if, can I make a friendly amendment to table or add another part, which would be to refer it to the legislative committee for review?
That is not a friendly amendment.
Thank you.
I mean, it's not an amendment to the table motion. It would be a different motion. It's a different motion, Margie. I'm not necessarily saying it's bad or good. I'm just saying it's not a motion to table. It's a motion to, you know, refer, which is a different type of motion. This motion is non-debatable and has to be voted on first. Okay. All those in favor of the motion to table until the next convention, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
The motion is carried. Okay, that resolution has been tabled. Margie, to what do you rise? Okay, I'll see if it's in order or not. Go ahead.
Same thing I was asking a minute ago. The resolution that was just tabled, I'd like to move that be reviewed by the legislative committee, and a report be brought back. Well, we already got the timeline, but the committee to do that is a resolution.
Okay.
Sorry, legislative.
Hold on. So you're referring to the Governmental Affairs Committee?
Yes.
Okay. Your own committee.
No,
okay.
It's not mine. I'm
no,
on it.
I know. I'm just giving you a hard time. Okay. I think that resolution is in order. You know, it's a little unusual given that it's after the table, but I don't have a problem with it. Yes, Mitch, is this a point of order or a pro or a con or whatever? Yeah, it was already seconded. Okay. Okay.
It's not pro or con.
Yes. Yes, go ahead, Mitch.
As chairperson for governmental affairs, I want to let everybody know what I'm going to do. I'm not a lawyer. I'm a dropout from law school. The two attorneys on the Governmental Affairs Committee are two gentlemen you've heard from on this issue, Charles Navarrete and Stephen Mendelson. So I want everybody to know, unless the Prez overrules me, that whatever comes out of governmental affairs is going to come from the two attorneys, because they're the ones who know the arcana of this branch of law, and it will be their opinion, their joint opinion, that will come to you in April.
So there you go. All right, we have a motion on the floor. Does anybody want to speak in favor of the motion? Please briefly. Anybody want to speak in opposition to the motion? Okay, all those in favor of the motion to refer to this for this tabled resolution for the review of the Governmental Affairs Committee, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
It has passed. So, Governmental Affairs, you have another task ahead of you. All right. So we now have our non-substantive resolutions. I'm going to turn it back over to Robert.
Okay. Am I on? Yep, I'm on. Okay. So, Resolution 2015-3 has been pulled back by the author. Pardon me. Tabled by the author.
Withdrawn.
Ah.
They're talking
withdrawn
about
by the author. So what do I do now? I'm sorry, Jeff.
Jeff.
The hospitality
what?
Ones.
Okay, what does he do?
What do I do now?
It's
withdrawn.
It's withdrawn. Yes.
Okay. Here we go. We've got two more, and we will be done. Okay, so this is our resolution for the volunteers. Whereas without the outstanding efforts of the volunteers at the 2015 California Council of the Blind Conference and Convention, the event would not have been such an outstanding success. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in convention assembled this fourth day, October 2015, at the Hilton Woodland Hills Los Angeles Hotel in the city of Woodland Hills, California, that this organization express its profound appreciation for the work of the volunteers at the 2015 California Council of the Blind Conference and Convention.
We have a motion. All those in favor of this outstanding resolution, say aye.
Aye.
Let's hear it for the volunteers. All those opposed are willing to be taken out and quartered and tarred and feathered, say no. All right, thank you. Okay.
Okay.
Last one.
Okay. Whereas the hard work of the Hilton Woodland Hills hotel staff helped to make the 2015 California Council of the Blind Conference and Convention an unbridled success, now therefore be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in convention assembled this fourth day of October 2015 at the Hilton Woodland Hills Los Angeles Hotel in the city of Woodland Hills, California, to thank and commend the Hilton Woodland Hills staff for their outstanding efforts.
All right. There's a motion for passage and for adoption of this resolution. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Again, these folks have done a great job helping us out around the hotel, giving you the information you needed. Yep, excellent. Okay, we have concluded the Resolutions Committee report.
Yay.
I want to thank Robert. You want to thank the other folks that assisted you?
Absolutely. I can't remember everybody's name. but in lieu of my memory, I would like to thank everybody, members and non-members, who came in and helped us get through these few resolutions. It was very helpful, and you know, this is unseen work, but it is done in the dark, actually. So I would like to thank everybody.
And before I entertain a motion, I want to thank Robert for stepping up to the plate.
Yes.
At sort of the last minute, last hour, and taking things on. So I want to, yep. All right. Is there a motion to accept the Resolutions Committee report? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? The motion is carried. The report is accepted. And now we've given a test to our new secretary to see how well she can figure out what we did with that resolution. Okay. We now have time, and hopefully we will be able to be out of here by like 11 to give us some time to get ready for the board meeting. We have time for committee reports. I will recognize any committee chair who would like to give a committee report. Do we have any? I think Gene is mulling it over. Huh? Gene, if you want to give a convention committee report, yes.
Okay. We will be having our convention in 2016, April 6th to the 10th. It is going to be at the Vias Casino.
Yes.
Yes, thank you. V-I-E V-A J-A-S. It's a V-I-E-J-A-S Casino Resort in Alpine, California, which is 39 miles outside of San Diego, downtown San Diego. The rates will be all-inclusive $99. We have negotiated with the resort that transportation, which normally is $160 round trip, will be $150 round trip. It's $50 round trip.
Instead of 160.
I said 160 is what it normally is, and we negotiated round, and that's a round trip normally, and we negotiated $150 round trip.
$50.
I just said 50. Well, yeah. Yes, it's accessible by yes, San Diego Paratransit, and I also been told that it can be done with traditional fixed route transportation. And now, there is something that really need to make clear to everyone. As you know, every casino has a lot of attractions in addition to the gambling. And that is a lot of the different eating options that are there. There will be seven restaurants, and there's rates as low as some meals and some of the inexpensive, like could be anywhere from $7 to $10, up to the steakhouse, which could be close to $100 per meal. Now, that's going to be a challenge for us to meet our food and beverage minimum of $15,000 all-inclusive, which is the plated meals we have. The plated meals, the $15,000, which is $15,000 minimum food and beverage all-inclusive, and meeting our minimum room nights, which is 240 room nights. That allows us then to have the breakout facilities, the ballroom and other smaller rooms, that allows us to get those at no charge. If we don't meet the minimum of food and beverage or the room nights, then we have to dig into the reserves. And that's what somewhat Peter was talking about earlier, some of the earlier conventions. Deficits in the last few years that we've had the drain because we weren't able to meet that. So I'm just bringing it up to let you know that, as you know, it will be really good for people to try to support the luncheons, the dinner, the president's dinner, the banquet, to get support so that overall we can have a conference and convention that's operating in the positive rather than the negative. Also adjacent, for those who want to know what else is there, adjacent to it is what my understanding is, the tribe operates a factory outlet there, mall there, right there. So, and that you have, you just go out a side door of the casino, across the intersection, which is just a mid-block crossing, and you're in the mall. And they also have people who don't want to do that walk. They can pick you up at the front door and have a shuttle to take you right to the entrance of the mall. So they're really interested in getting your money. They are very, very good people. We've had a positive experience. Now, the thing is, some of this we did not see when we checked it out, the facility fully, some of it's under construction, which it was supposed to have been completed this week. And we have in our contract the option, which we are going to take, is that a limited number of us will be going down there before December 15th to take a look at the new facilities to confirm that it will meet our needs. And if we can show that it doesn't, we can cancel the contract with no financial penalty. So to let you know that that's what's happening. And I guess the last thing is we will be returning to this hotel in April of 2017. And so there'll be an evaluation done on how this conference and convention went. And we'll be interested in getting that, as well as any comments you have about the hotel. So thank you very much.
Okay, we can take a question or two.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm kind of concerned for the people that don't fly, like those of us who live in the Riverside San Bernardino area, and how we're going to be able to get to that location.
Okay. Good question, and thank you for reminding me about that. The transportation from the casino to San Diego, it will not only serve the airport, it will serve Amtrak and Greyhound Depot in downtown there. So that though, so it's getting to the downtown San Diego, and then the casino transportation will get you out there and back. For the same price, yes. I recognize the gentleman.
That means we're having 15, 16, and 17 in Southern California. Is that correct?
Yes, and
boo.
As you may recall, we've had this discussion, and it's unfortunately, we could not find a place in Northern California where it was a desire that we could find any rate under $130 plus tax and everything. All the hotels in Sacramento declined to give us any bid proposals. Even the Hilton declined to send us anything. Conference director will work through the negotiations, contacted all those hotels, including the, as people ask about the Capital Crown Plaza, and they repeatedly declined to submit anything to us. We looked at Redding, Stockton, Modesto, and Fresno, as well as the San Francisco Bay Area on both sides of the bay. And we and down into Santa Clara. The outlining areas like Redding, Stockton, and Modesto, the killer was the cost of transportation, anywhere like $700 from Southern California to Redding, airfare. Train transportation was pretty expensive, as remarkable as that is, that imagine it could be, but it was unaffordable. We looked at the Radisson Hotel in Fresno, declined to give us a bid. We did get one from a hotel, the Holiday Inn Airport there, and the food and beverage minimum was something that we couldn't afford. I think it was like $20,000 plus. We did get a bid for Yes. And transportation was a big factor. I think it was 39 miles away from the airport, Fresno Airport, and about 15 miles from Amtrak and Greyhound. So we looked at that. So then we looked at Southern California as a fallback. And again, we ran into the challenge, again, of finding places that were not within our what we could afford. Yes, Mitch.
Hold on. I'm coming. Hold on.
I'm just wrapping this up, Mitch. The last comment was the casino was the only place in California at this time that we could negotiate something. We have a contract for 2016 and 17. We have nothing for 2018, and the new leadership and conference and convention chair and the convention committee will have this to face, what to do for 2018 in the future. And I just gave a long answer because I knew there's a lot of questions like, why did we do this? And that's the reason. Okay.
One more question, and then we need to...
Mr. President, I want to make a suggestion that I think will help everyone here in this room and beyond. I got to deal with this for 6 years as ACB president. I'm secondhand aware of what the board has gone through the past 2 or 3 years because of Donna and her involvement. The hotel industry has changed over the last 5 years. And I think what really needs to happen is we need to educate our membership. I think people don't necessarily understand what we mean when we talk about food and beverage minimums. I mean, in a nutshell, folks, what it means is if you don't go to enough meal functions to where you spend $15,000 minimum, the hotel charges us. This is a business. Hotels are in business to make money. They're not a charity. They don't believe in kumbaya. All they care about is making money. And what I'm proposing to you, Gene, to Jeff, is that an article be prepared in the BC kind of outlining what is involved in putting a convention together from the standpoint of getting a hotel, because it ain't easy and it ain't simple, and for most of us it's beyond our understanding unless we're involved with it. I think that if we put something like that out, I think people will have a better understanding of why we're going to Southern California for 3 years in a row, why it is so difficult to get room rates under $100, why this hotel isn't working for us. So that's my proposal.
Okay, actually, we need to move on in case there are other committee reports. No, I already said that would be the last one, and I want to go on. In case there are other, if there are no other committee reports, I'll give you a chance to. No. Are there other committee? Let me get the mic back.
Okay, sorry. Which one?
I'll use jeans. I like it better. Okay. Are there other committee chairs that would like to? Okay. You are recognized.
I'm not the committee chair, but I am making this on behalf of the committee chair for the Goal 3 strategic plan. Linda was unable to attend today. She was here for other parts of the convention, and she wanted to have her report presented on her behalf. She first wanted to acknowledge the members of the Goal 3 committee, strategic plan committee, who are Christy Crespin, Lena Bandy, David Jackson, Paul Patchett Jr., and myself, and she is the chair. We initially met on a monthly basis during the spring. However, we have not been able to meet during the summer due to various circumstances. We had three proposals to achieve the goal of the Goal 3 committee. The objective of the Goal 3 committee is to increase membership and to strengthen local chapters. To that end, there are three initiatives. First, Christy Crespin prepared a survey to be presented to the members of CCB regarding transportation difficulties to attend local chapter meetings. That survey has not been sent to the members, but hopefully it will be. Secondly, there was a proposal to have a diabetics affiliate constituted. And David Jackson, in that regard, went to the Veterans Administration Hospital in the Bay Area and made inquiries as to the whether the veterans would like to become part of CCB, and also surveyed the members, the veterans in that facility. I prepared a short article for the CCB listserv and had only one response. Hopefully we can follow that up, because I think that there is a great number of diabetics in California who are part of CCB who would benefit from such an affiliate. The third initiative was to have a new membership or a membership pamphlet prepared, which would supplement the present one that would explain to prospective members and the blind community what CCB is all about. That was referred to the Publications Committee, and presently Linda is seeking assistance from the Membership Committee and another committee for the preparation of that pamphlet. Linda wants to, requested that perhaps the board reconsider the objective and reconstitute the committee so that there'll be, you know, more work done on the Goal 3 strategic plan objectives. There is a, the Goal 3 is set forth, and I think it's on the website, and you can look at it, and she did set it out, but I'm not going to present it at this time because it's kind of long. Okay, that's her report.
Thank you, Charles. Two questions. Any questions? We'll have time for two like we did with Jean. Okay, thank you. Any other committee? Are you committee chairs? Okay, I heard, I don't know who I heard first. I heard Pam second. I heard Abby first, Pam second, and then Frank third.
Okay. This is basically, I'm wearing two hats. First off, the our exhibits. I heard from our exhibitors, they said this was the finest exhibit that they've had. They said it was kind of small, but it still was one of the best that they have had in years. So we can thank all the people for coming and visiting them. Now the second one is a little sad one. It seems I'm the only one of the devotional committee that's been showing up, at which probably makes me the chair now. I need a new committee. People who are interested, please contact me at my home phone number, which is 818-399-6741, so that we can set up a devotional, a decent one.
Thank you, Abby. We will definitely have to work on that, and you can contact me as well, and we will have that committee reorganized before the next convention. And yeah, I heard the same thing from exhibitors, which shows not only how well all of you did in visiting them, but how well Peter and Abby are doing in terms of organizing the exhibit area. Okay, Pam.
Thank you. I just wanted to speak on in reference to the credentials committee. And if there's time at the end of the committee reports, I'd like to request one more time to speak, because I wanted to piggyback on Mitch's comment about conventions if I have time. So anyway, my report on the credentials is that I wanted to thank everyone, many, many persons who had sent in their credentials and all their information, and then there were changes. And due to Ed's advocacy, they contacted me, a lot of them, before the convention so that I could make those changes and not take up everyone's time during the credential meeting to do that. So I'd really urge you guys to continue that wonderful pattern that you have, that you're developing, and let me know whenever there's changes. And of course, during the credentials meeting, you're certainly welcome, and I need to know, but the sooner the better. And also, my committee, like Abby, my committee has dwindled, and the one person that was on my committee didn't even show up for credentials, so until the very end. And what I'd like to encourage you is, if you're interested in finding out what credentials is all about, what we need to do, I'm willing to keep it as long as you'll have me, but if something happens to me, I don't want, someone needs to be mentored. And I just would encourage anyone who wants you to contact Jeff and let him know, because I'd welcome anyone. And I want to thank Ed again for all his help in getting everything brailled for me so that I could bring up the report here to give to you. And my assistant who cited, who helped me as well, because the Phoenix embosser was not able to be deciphered in some ways. But also for nominating, I want to thank Mitch for being my coach. You know, as everybody knows, I'm a bit of a slow learner, and so he was willing to put up with me. He even came a day early to do it. And Peter for being the person who was keeping track and counting the vote. So I appreciate everybody's help. Thank you so very much.
And I just want to say, you know, Donna said, you know, you really gotta have Pampology to continue as your committee chair. She's really excellent. Well, you know what? Donna, as frequently she is, was right again, because Pam has done just an outstanding job. And
it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, Pam has really been there to give me some guidance back and forth, and it's been great. Thank you, Pam. Yes. Okay, but where Frank is the next committee chair. We'll get to general items after committee chairs.
Yesterday, the fundraising committee had a very constructive discussion, and we came out of there with a number of plans for tasks that we will take on to move our fundraising activities forward, particularly in the area of being a stronger support for local chapter fundraisers. We'd like your cooperation in that working with you and your chapters on fundraisers, and you can do that. Those of you who are chapter presidents, please let me know who your fundraising chair is. And in case you're thinking you can ignore this, remember, if I don't hear from you, as far as I'm concerned, you're the fundraising chair. So it's in your interest to have one.
Thank you. Any other committee chairs? Artists? Okay, go ahead.
As membership chair, I'd like to encourage anyone that would be interested in serving on the membership committee to let Jeff know, because a couple of our committee members have expressed that they aren't any longer interested. So please let Jeff know if you would be.
Thank you. By the way, I know Mitch would say this if he were wanting to. We have a new Government Affairs Committee member as of yesterday from Bakersfield, Chris Hendrick. So I thought I'd throw that out there. Okay, so any other committee chairs wish to speak? All right, hearing none, we have a little time. We do want to get out as soon as we can, but we have some time left, and it's very important that folks give announcements, good of the order, any ideas. And since Christy was asking for the floor, I will recognize her first.
Okay, I have a couple. The Ellen Murphy Fund has been serving several women over the age of 50 who are visually impaired. And we're so blessed by Ellen Murphy to have been left funds. However, I wanted to let you guys know that you can contribute to the Ellen Murphy Fund. So please consider it. If you're making any kind of decisions about giving, that would be a wonderful place. Unfortunately, we've had some repeat requests because things are, you know, so bad for people financially. And we've had ups and downs in the market. So we're really wanting to let you know that it's something that you can contribute to. Also, the crisis committee, we have had some folks, and I guess we're going to be having a new chair of the crisis committee. And that's a place where you can get assistance one time only. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Christy. Okay, Dirk.
I have a resolution that we thank Ed Branch for all of his work during the year. I suggest rather than yays or nay, just clap.
Crisis? Crisis? She is. Why would I want to get rid of her?
Thank you, Derek. Judy says I should ask you, and I think I will, Christy. Are you no longer going to be my crisis committee chair?
I thought you had said you had asked somebody else. So no, I'm.
No, we're asking another member to be on your committee. I'm not asking.
Okay. Then I guess I'm still the chair.
Lord Almighty, I don't want to get rid of my good. Yes, Ken.
That's what I was waiting for. He told me not to use the mic. That's what. That was obby, I mean. Anyway, since you said we can make some announcements, since we're in Southern California, 2 weeks from yesterday, the Greater LA Chapter will be having its annual World Series Food Fest fundraiser. And it's even more important because the Dodgers won their division. And they beat some team that was up in the Bay Area. I can't remember their name.
Ken, I'm really ruling you out of order. As a Giant fan, you should feel deeply. I am disgusted that you would say.
Well, that. I'll give you condolences at least.
Saying that, but you,
we are charging $15 for hot links, and I mean hot ones, hot dogs, hamburgers. And I am going to make about 25 quarts of homemade chili, including half of it that people have requested be spicy, and the other half will be mild enough for people to enjoy, and potato salad, and we're going to get those chocolate malts that they have at the ballpark for dessert. So it'll be from 3 to 7, and I have flyers if anyone is interested. Or give me a call, and I'll send out the flyer via email or give you the information. If I give it here, yeah, it doesn't really help. So give me a call or email me, and I'll be glad if anyone decides that they would like to go. And if you inform me of that and make a reservation by October 11th, you will be in a drawing, a separate drawing, for one of two $50 gift certificates to a couple of possible stores that you will enjoy. Thank you.
Okay, before the next person is recognized, that is, I want to be there. I wish I could. But before the next person is recognized, let's do a door prize. How many envelopes we got left of money there, Ed?
We could save some for the board meeting.
No. Okay. Okay, so we have a T-shirt and $25, which we'll do right now. The T-shirt is from Guide Dogs of America T-shirt and a canvas bag and Bayview $25. So this is a goodie. Ed, go ahead and draw it. No, you're drawing it. Fred Marine. I don't think Fred is. Yeah. Lynn Mishihara. I believe she's left too.
Your name, then you drew your name.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's right. He's keeping his job. Okay, let's do some other people, and then we'll do another door prize. Well, we're not drawing yet. We're doing another person for an announcement. Yeah, Pam.
I have a thank you to give, but could I go back to what I requested before I gave my credentials report to piggyback on what Mitch said about conventions?
Yeah, whatever you want to say. It's your turn.
You know, Mitch was talking about how the membership, and he's correct that, you know, a lot of the membership is unaware of the difficulties the obstacles that we're meeting and trying to schedule conventions at an affordable rate. And because of the changes that are going through the hotel industry, and I would just like to make a suggestion that when members know of a conference call of an open board meeting that is going to occur, that you take the time to join the call, because I learned a lot about what's going on in the convention committee and the industry by going on to the conference call and listening to everything. It really enlightened me and gave me a lot more understanding of not only the obstacles, but a lot more understanding of, not to try to balk it, because it's not going to change. And, so we have to learn how to cope with it the way it is. And in saying that, I would like to thank everybody who joined us for the hospitality room. I know it was a little bit disappointing for some because we didn't have the imbibing of the alcoholic spirits, but as I think people will attest, we had a very high spirit of friendship and fellowship, and people seemed to have a good time. We even stayed overtime, but don't tell anybody. And so I just appreciate everybody's attendance, and I appreciate the Greater Los Angeles chapter, who subsequent to their fundraiser on Thursday donated ice chests and their leftovers to us so that we could add that on to our stock. I think that was more than generous, and I thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Okay, anyone else? Okay, I don't hear anyone else. So, yes?
Okay. Ed's getting exasperated with me, but I was just reminded. Junior Blind of America had a gathering here, a pizza party, I guess you'd call it, and they had leftover pizza, and Richard Verretta brought it to our hospitality room and donated it to us as part of our refreshment, and I'm sorry that I was remiss. Thank you.
Okay, so we are now going to have another $25 door prize, and after which we will have, if there's no one else, we will have a $50 conclusion. Okay, Robert's going to draw apparently, and leave your badges on the tables. We do reuse them. Gloria Broderick, are you in the room? I don't think so. No. Yeah, I guess I actually do. Leslie Slobotnik. Don't put them back in because we know they're on here. Next one. Yep. Kelly Weiss. Not here anymore. She won something earlier this week. Yeah. Donna Pomerantz. All right. Very good. So, I'm going to call for old business. I'm going to call for new business. Okay, and I'm going to call for announcements from Peter, and then we're going to have a $50 door prize before we adjourn. Okay, after Peter. What?
Okay. Basically, just a reminder that the fundraising reports are due as close either on December 31st or shortly thereafter. Chapters need to submit their fundraising reports on or shortly thereafter, December 31st for the 2015. The reason that I need these quickly is we have to prepare a report for the for the Board of Equalization, and the report is due to them by January 21st. And I need time to prepare the report. And in order to prepare the report, I need your fundraising reports.
Okay, you heard it. Legs will be broken by Peter unless you get those reports in. He's already amassing his tools for leg breaking. Okay. Yeah, please do that. It really helps us out. All right. We have another announcement. Yeah, Mike?
I'd like to, on behalf of the Hearing and Vision Impairment Committee, I'd like to thank the sound people and anyone else who's involved in getting the new HD hearing impaired equipment in. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. That committee has been really busy. It seems like whenever they have a meeting, I have to miss it for some reason, but I've been following what they've been doing, and they're really working hard. So excellent job. Okay. Now we will have a $50 door prize to send you out the door. But first, give yourselves all a great hand for a wonderful convention.
Yeah.
So it's a combo from San Gabriel and CCCLV for a total of $50. And Gene, you can draw. We removed your name already, Abby, so you will not be there. Frank Weldy. Whoa.
Gee.
We know he's here. Okay.
Donations are always CCB always welcomes any donations that people want to make.
He welcomes donations for CCB. All right. So, do I have a motion to adjourn the 2015 California Wildlife Flying Conference Convention? There's a motion, a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you.